Oh, that's right. Let's lift our hands and give him some praise right now. Oh, God, have your way tonight. Have your way tonight, Jesus. Oh, we covet earnestly, God, that precious work of your Spirit, God. Oh, we need you more than anything in the world today, God. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. Amen. I do want to say how thankful I am for the opportunity just to be able to attend Doctrine and Holiness Conference. And it has been a tremendous blessing to my family and to myself over the last several years. And I'm also thankful for the acquaintances, the friendships that have grown out of this. And it means the world to be able to get together with apostolic brethren and of like precious faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I give honor to Elder Dudley. Amen. The very first night we begin this conference, he was talking about the rapture, and I have been praying for that to take place. Unfortunately, it didn't. I was with you, Elder, all the way. And I have prayed, and but I am thankful. I'm very, very thankful for this opportunity to be here. And I give honor to Brother Jonathan Dudley and his family. And they are friends, and they're Christian people. Amen. And these are the kind of folks we want to be around. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And just bear with me here. I don't want to neglect to say how thankful I am for the hospitality that I've been shown since I've been here. I just, in passing, I hinted at gumbo. And miraculously, it showed up on the table. And I have learned my lesson that I'm going to have to start hinting a whole lot more. If it's that easy, folks, there is no telling what we're fixing to have for dinner tonight. But I do want to say I appreciate, the room and the basket and the fellowship and the friends. And to all the speakers, thank you for preaching to us. And we are better people because of you. Do you feel that way today? We are better people. And I want to give honor to my pastor and my elder, Elder Howard, a man that I genuinely, deeply, deeply love and honor him and respect him. And Elder Johnson, these men serve on my elder board. And their influence in my life is really, a price cannot be put on their influence. And so I'm thankful today for this opportunity to be here. And the last thing I want to do is fail God. And I mean that. I'm very, very, very interested in pleasing God. And doing the right thing. I hope tonight, as you stand, I hope tonight that what I have to say will not qualify just as a sermon, but I hope tonight that somewhere in the midst of this, that God will come down and God will anoint us and God will confirm his word. And this is what we're asking for today. Jeremiah chapter 12, please. I'd like to begin reading with verse number 1. And again, I don't want to neglect to say this. I'm thankful to have my wife and Bryson and Joanna with me. And I'm glad to have my family here. I'm thankful that my family wants to live for God.
Yes.
Amen. I cannot imagine it, but I'm thankful that my children have a love for the truth. And I love them very much. Jeremiah 12, please. Let's begin with verse number 1. If you have that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they all happy that deal very treacherously. Thou hast plantest them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried me, tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. I'd like for you to notice verse 5, please. If thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dwelt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words. Verse 5, I'd like to point your attention to verse 5, please. This is God's response to Jeremiah's questions. Amen. God said, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Amen. With the help of our God today, I'd like to preach to you for a little while on this subject, running with horses. Running with horses. Why don't we give the Lord some praise? Would you do that with me, please? Let's give him some praise. God, we love you. How thankful we are, God, for your goodness. How thankful we are for your mercy, oh God. I praise you for what you're going to do today. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. We covet you. You helping us preach today. Amen. In the book of Jeremiah, amen. Obviously, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Amen. It pretty much, if you can read the book of Jeremiah, he was easily stirred and easily moved about the needs of the people of the nation that he was in. Amen. And God called him to a mission of being a prophet. And there is no question in my mind as you read the book of Jeremiah, amen, that if a person could have something to complain about, it would be Jeremiah. And it seemed like that even though he put forth great efforts in trying to minister and trying to faithfully deliver the word of God, the Bible lets us know that overall it fell on deaf ears. And his word was not received. And then to complicate the matter even more and even greater, the Bible lets us know that Jeremiah began to see how the wicked were prospering. Amen. And he begins to plead with God and reason with God. And he said, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. And so obviously that Jeremiah was questioning, he was wondering, why is it that the way of the wicked prosper? And what is it? What is it about those that deal treacherously? Why is it? Does it seem like they are happy? And then in verse 2, he continues this pleading with God, and he said, you have planted them, and they've taken root, and they grow. They bring forth fruit, and you're near their mouth, and you're far from their reins. And so he's some way, he's reasoning with God. And the faith of Jeremiah is being shaken at this time here. So not only is he struggling with a nation that overall that is not receiving what he has to say, amen, he's also dealing with wicked people around him, amen, that seems like that everything that their hand touches, it turns to gold. Amen. And so he begins to speak with God, and some commentators they take a lot of liberty, amen. But I'm going to say this, amen, that I truthfully feel that he does not ask any questions that you and I have not asked. Amen. But he brings his complaint before the Lord about the prosperity of the wicked. Amen. He admits that God, you are righteous. Amen. But why does it seem like that wicked people are prospering? God, if you are angry with their sin, God, if you have such a problem with the way that they live, amen, why is it that seems like their barns are full of grain and it seems like their cattle are multiplying? Amen. I want to say this here today. Amen. Amen. If you only gauge blessings, amen, by what's in a person's bank account, and if you only bless favor of God, whatever, amen, on what somebody drives or what neighborhood they live in, you are going to be sorely disappointed in the world that you and I are living in. Praise God, I am thankful for all of the natural things. Amen, but this week we have set in heavenly places. We have heard things that money cannot buy. We have felt things that you cannot put a price tag on them. How do you put a price tag on the joy of the Holy Ghost? How do you put a price tag on being able to lay your head on your pillow at night and being able to sleep, not wondering if you're going to go to hell if the trumpet sounds? I want to know what that's worth to you. We have to learn to value spiritual things. Amen. I'm going to say it again. God, give us the ability to accurately value what's most important. God, in this end time hour, help us to some way keep our bearings straight. Help us to some way, plant our feet in a relationship with God. Amen, amen, and not be swayed, amen, by the winds of prosperity that would try to blow us off course in this end time hour. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time Holy Ghost move. Give me that old time revival. Give me that old time tongue talking. Ah, running. Amen. Amen. While admitting that God was righteous, that still did not alleviate the questions of Jeremiah. And in matter of fact, he said it seemed as if God was planting them. It seems like that God was helping them to bear this fruit here. Can I say this here right now? Amen. It's one thing to wonder. And it's one thing to, have questions in your mind about certain situations in life. But can I tell you something right now? We can never stray far away, amen, from the fact that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Amen. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I pray tonight that some way that God could enable me to be able to help us get refocused on what's really, really important in this end time hour. Well, God's got to help us tonight. But because there's a lot of things that want to distract us in this end time hour. There's a lot of spiritual trinkets that the devil's holding out, hoping that we will lose our focus on apostolic revival and a move of God. Job struggled with the same question, amen, amen, that Jeremiah struggled with. Amen, why? He said in Job 21 and verse 7, why? Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, which is not true. Amen. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock. Their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment they go down to the grave. You see, this is what happens when you begin to lose your focus, amen, on what's important in your life. The devil wants you to get focused on your trial, your problem in your life, so you will walk away and you will leave the greatest thing that has ever been given to mankind, and that is this Acts 2:38 experience. David struggled with the same thing. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Oh my God, I'm gonna tell you, I'll take what we've been feeling around here. I'll take what I've been hearing around there. There is no drug that can do for you what the Holy Ghost can do. There is no high that is generated by man, amen, that can satisfy the longing of your soul like God can. Oh, come on, if you believe that, give him some praise right now. Thank God for this Holy Ghost experience. I said, thank God for this Holy Ghost experience. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Trials can't take it away. Problems can't take it away. He said, there's no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as every man. Do you see the distortion that happens? Amen. When we begin to lose our focus on the most important thing. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than a heart could wish. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Full waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. They said, God, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Oh, it's the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. And then listen to what David said. He began to question his consecration. He said, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and I wash my hands in innocency. Can I tell you, if money and prosperity is the only thing you're looking at, I'm going to tell you, you'll walk away from God. Young people, you better fall in love with God, not for what he can do for you or how he can make you feel. Because there's going to be times you're not going to feel him like you want to feel him. There's going to be times the devil's going to jump up on your shoulder and tell you, what's the use of praying? What's the use of fasting? What's the use of living right? I want to tell you, you better learn to shut your ear to that lying devil that wants to take you to hell. Amen. Amen. Malachi has said it this way. And now we call the proud happy. They that work wickedness are set up, and they that tempt God are delivered. One thing I appreciate deeply about the Word of God, amen, is the Bible does not paint these men as superheroes. He does not paint a picture of men that don't struggle and don't have questions and don't battle. Can I tell you something right now? It don't take a superhero to live for God. It just takes somebody that's got a made up mind that you decide, I don't care who's prospering. I don't care what they have out there. I'm not going anywhere. The church is where my feet are planted. I'm going to tell you, Daddy, you better get backsliding out of your mind. You better not be so foolish to entertain the idea of stepping out of those doors, not for 1 minute. You better not be so foolish to take yourself out from under spiritual authority. Oh, does anybody hear what I'm preaching about right now? The church is the best thing that ever happened to us. I'm going to say it again. I said the church is the best thing that ever happened to me. Does anybody believe what I just said? Are you glad you're in the church? I said, are you glad you're in the church? Amen. Jeremiah saw the land distressed because of the sins of Israel. He saw the land in distress. He was seeing innocent people suffering. He seen the drought that God had sent as the judgment of idolatry against the nation of Israel. All around him, all he could see was trouble. All around him, all he could see was the crops were dying. They were withering. The animals were dying. And yet there were evil leaders who were to blame. They were men, they were not only surviving, but they were prospering from other people's losses. To Jeremiah, this did not seem fair. Why? He began to complain to the Lord. Why? Why do the faithless live at ease? How long will the land lie parched? Why? And these are questions, amen, that all of us have asked at times. But I'm going to tell you, there is going to be times in your life, saints of God, amen, amen, that you're going to have more questions than you do answers. I want to say this here today. Amen. I respectfully wouldn't trade living for God for anything in the world. You understand that, correct? But I'm going to tell you, if you live for God only because you get answers and only because things make sense to you, it's not going to be long until that old discouragement is going to hop up on your shoulder. Amen. And you're gonna end up doing something you'll regret. And not only are you going to regret it, but your family is going to end up regretting it. Amen, amen, amen. Jeremiah's question was all of these things here. Amen, but I'm going to tell you this here right now. Amen, the response that God gave to Jeremiah was not the one he was expecting. Have you ever went to prayer and was asking for something and you walked away with an answer you didn't want? I guess I'm the only one in this place that's ever happened to. As Jeremiah brings his complaint up before the Lord, amen, God did not console him in the sense of saying, Jeremiah, I feel sorry for you. Jeremiah, I feel so bad that you happen to be a preacher during this most difficult time in the nation of Israel. Jeremiah, why don't you just relax your message? Why don't you just back off of preaching what you've been preaching? That is not the response that God gave Jeremiah. Amen, amen. The answer that God gave Jeremiah was not the one that he wanted, but it was the one that he needed. I'm going to say that again. The response that God gave Jeremiah wasn't the one that he wanted or what he was expecting. But I'm going to tell you, when God responded to Jeremiah's prayer, he knew exactly what this discouraged man of God needed to hear. I said he had a message for him. He said, brother, if you run with a footman and you're tired already, in other words, it's time to man up and it's time for you to make up your mind that I don't care how bad things are getting. We're not turning our back on God. I said, we're not walking away from God. My God, I hope God will help me right now reach somebody here right now. I want to preach to you. Will you allow me to preach to you for a little bit this evening? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God used two different metaphors to make his point to this prophet here. He used the metaphor of a race. Jeremiah, he said, and you know what he's saying here, Jeremiah. If you race with men, a foot race, and you are complaining of how hard it is, and you are weary and discouraged, what are you going to do when a real trial comes your way? Can I say this? And I believe I can safely speak for every pastor in this place that I worry about saints of God, amen, that every little trial and every little situation that goes upside down and that does not go according to their plan, it ends up knocking them for a loop. Be seated, please. Amen. I have not pastored near as long as these elders here, but I am fastly approaching 20 years of pastoring, and I know I'm a novice on this platform here, but I'm going to tell you, I am amazed at people, amen, that after God has done so many good things for them, took them out of the world, broke the addictions that had them bound every day. Hey, that's not a small thing, brother. That's not a small thing, sister. When you don't have to smoke every day and shoot up every day and pop a pill every day. Be seated here. I'm going to say this as a little bit of a disclaimer here. No, I'm not apologizing for what I'm preaching. I'm not apologizing for the content of what I preached. I've been preaching the Bible to you today. I know there's times that everybody goes through tough stuff, right? I get it, man. We've all been there. We've all faced things here right now. But I'm going to tell you something right now, and I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom here. But if I read my Bible correctly, amen, we have not seen anything of what we're going to be facing in this world today. I believe the perilous times that Peter preached to Timothy about and told him to be aware of those perilous times. Not only do I believe we are living in them right now, but I believe, and I'm sorry if this sounds negative, just give me a minute and I'll turn it around and we'll all be happy. But what I'm trying to say is, I don't think things are going to get any better outside the church. I don't think we need to depend upon our government for some type of help. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I'm sure there's no Democrats in this place. They probably don't like this kind of message. But anyway, I'm moving on. But let me just help you understand something here right now. The devil, the enemy's watching you. The enemy's analyzing you, young man. Young lady, the enemy's watching you. And that with every little thing that comes your way, if you end up missing church, you end up missing prayer meetings, you end up staying at home like these men of God have been talking about here. If you cannot run with the footmen, what are you going to do, amen, when the battle really gets hot? That means we better make up our mind. Come hell or high water, I'm staying in the church. I am living for God. Amen. What are you going to do, Jeremiah? And you say, and this is the length, this is how God encourages us. Be seated. You ever been encouraged that way? Brian, get your lip off the floor. Brian, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Brian. Oh, I know I'm not alone in preaching this message here, because there's a whole lot of flesh that's sitting out there. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We got to make up our mind. Not only are we going to make it through the little things we're going through right now, that whatever is on the horizon, if God brought us to it, he's going to bring us through it. God is not going to bring us this far to leave us. He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come again. And then he told Jeremiah, amen, and again, it may be difficult for us to understand their terminology, but if in the land of peace you have trusted, or you can live for God when things are going well and you feel safe, then what will you do in the swelling of Jordan? Amen. I want to talk to you about this here right now. These footmen were a symbol of common trials that everyone went through. And the horsemen, they were a symbol of greater trials that Jeremiah was going to face. Amen, amen, amen. Jeremiah, amen, if you cannot live for God in a time of safety, what are you going to do when Jordan begins to overflow? Some commentators believe that in the thickets of Jordan is where many ravenous beasts end up living. Amen. And the floods would drive them out. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We have got to be people of stability in this end time hour. If there's any double-mindedness in us, God has got to, he's got to cleanse it out of us. He's got to give us victory over any weakness that would cause us to even contemplate the idea of backsliding. Yeah. Jeremiah, if you're overwhelmed at a time of peace, what are you going to do when the Jordan swells? Can I just say this? Here's my scripture for that. That when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to lift up or raise up a standard against him. The best that hell can produce is not good enough to stop the grace of God from being able to see you and I through whatever it is that's on the horizon. Does anybody believe what this preacher's preaching about right now? Amen. It was one thing to be attacked by outsiders, but verse 6 lets us know that it got even worse. He said, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. They have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words. One translation says of verse 6, even your relatives, members of your own family, have betrayed you. They join in the attacks on you. Don't trust them, even though they speak friendly words. Are you facing opposition from your family in living for God? Can I tell you, you're in the same kind of company that Jeremiah was. I want to ask you, does anybody here, did you face opposition from your family? When you look around you, I'm going to tell you this. They are a witness. They are a witness that ties to your man of God and ties to God and ties to the church are greater than any tie that you can have to your family. Let them talk. Let them run their mouth. Let them say what I want to. When I go to church and I feel God, I go to church and I got the Holy Ghost. Let them mock the way we worship. Let them laugh at speaking in tongues while we feel God. Oh, Holy Ghost. Lift your hands and give God some praise with me, please. Amen. Amen. Don't listen to your family if they tell you to get out of church. Don't listen to that. They don't even understand, but they are becoming an instrument of hell to try to divert you. They're trying to some way cause you to take an exit before you cross the finish line. Don't listen to that. I don't even know why I'm preaching this here right now, but I'm going to tell you, young couple, don't listen to that voice. Don't give in to that draw of a family member. Jeremiah, you better learn to get victory right now. I want to say this here. Thank you, Elder Pace, for preaching what you did. Amen. I do not consider that an elementary thought. I consider it a very, very essential thought. Amen. That living for God, having a relationship with God, falling in love with God, that's what's going to keep you in the church. Standards are not going to keep you living for God. Do we believe in them? Yes. Do we preach them? Yes. Are we going to continue to preach them? But I'm going to tell you, if the only thing that's got you living for God is a piece of paper that tells you how you ought to live, that piece of paper is going to grow old. Amen. But when you make your way into the holies of holies and you begin to be immersed in the presence of God. Amen. The point that God was trying to make to Jeremiah was not that he needed to, for a better word, freak out. I'm sure there's a more sophisticated word to use. Okay, I like it. Elder Johnson said I could use it. God did not tell him, Jeremiah, if you think this is bad, cheer up, it's fixing to get worse. I'm sorry if you feel like this is a negative message. It's really, really not. It's really not. Because God had a plan for Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I see some things coming on the horizon, man. These things you're struggling with right now, you better get victory over them right now, or you're not going to stand a chance against the things that are coming into your life. God wanted Jeremiah to grow, but it's not just Jeremiah that he wants to grow. It's apostolics in this end time hour. God was not just concerned about what was going on around Jeremiah, but he was trying to develop a man of God that would be able to withstand, amen, the flinted heads and the mean looks that would come against him right now. I'm going to preach to you here right now. Amen. God is concerned about making us. Often, please be seated. Often we pray for God to remove a trial. I have done that too. Has anybody else ever done that? Have you ever reached a place, amen, where there was no answers? There was nothing but confusion. The ends did not meet. Nothing made sense. And your prayer was, God, please get me out of this. Again, the Apostle Paul prayed this concerning a gift which was called a thorn in the flesh that God gave him. And the Bible says that Paul did not recognize this was a gift. So he prayed three times, God, take it away. God, whatever you got to do, I've got to have relief. But the Bible lets us know that God did not respond to Paul's prayer requests. All he said was, as I'm not going to give you answers, and I'm not even going to give you relief, but I'm going to give you something even better. And that's my grace to be able to see you through everything that you are going to face. Oh my God. There's some things better than getting out of a trial. Be seated. There's some things better than God shortening a situation in your life. There's some things better, amen, than God some way bailing you out. But it's when you stay in there and you stick in there and he washes you, amen, and he begins to infuse you, amen, with a power that you couldn't have got any other way other than through going through that trial in your life. Oh my God, it pays to stick in there. I said it pays to stick in there living for God. Lift your hands and pray with me just a moment, please. Come on, stick in there, sister. Come on, brother. Leave it off of your mind. Get quitting off of your mind. Get giving up off of your mind. Holy Ghost, have your way. Holy Ghost, have your way. Would you lift your hands with me just a moment, please? Oh, God. Oh my God, somebody's got to get some things settled tonight. I'm sorry if this does not qualify as a Friday night message to you, But I believe the Holy Ghost sent me here to some way try to reach somebody and tell you, you got to get some things settled tonight. Sunday is not, it won't work. Do you feel what I'm feeling right now? I'm telling you, God is working on somebody. God doesn't want you to leave with the same problems that you came with. God wants to break the cycle that you've been living in for decades. God wants you to come to an altar here in a minute, and he wants you to lay it down and never pick it up. Amen. This was a wake-up call to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, we're fixing to run with the horses. Some people believe that alludes to the Babylonians. I don't really know what everything that alludes to. Amen. But this was the way God encouraged this prophet. And I'm not trying to go back and just recover that again, but I'm going to say this right now. When you look at the way that God deals with people, he's not so much concerned about their feelings when he speaks to them. I'm afraid if we are not careful, amen, we can become people, amen, that are so sensitive the wrong way. I mean, they get easily offended at a preacher, amen, that says something that might be doing. I tell the church that God is allowing me to pastor, that if you think that I'm talking to you, then I am. Is that right, Brother Luke? And can I say this tonight? If you believe that I'm preaching to you, then I am. If you're struggling with something right now, I want to help you break that thing. I want to help you get some victory so you can be an asset to the church that you are in. Be seated. Amen, amen, amen. God, deliver us from being easily offended. God, set us free from being easily offended. God, some way reach into our hearts and minds tonight, and whatever it is that would cause me to be hurt over a man of God that would care enough about my soul to preach the word, God, help me. Deliver us from an offended spirit. I can be seated. I guarantee you, I can hand this mic to every one of these men of God up here, and they can tell you stories of people that lived for God for a long time until they got something in their craw against the pulpit. The man of God had to correct their child. The man of God had to tell them no, no. The man of God had to rebuke them. Do you understand that if you truly believe the Bible, that pulpit is the oracle of God? It's the mouthpiece of God that speaks into your life? You see, that's why the devil wants us to substitute worship for preaching. That's why he wants us to hoop him up Jesus rather than letting a man of God throw down and find out where I'm living and dig and dig and dig and dig until I'm free. Does not the word of God say that God's word is a fire and it is a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? You know what's going to set you free? Your response to what this preacher is preaching about here right now. The hammer's falling right now. Not on you, but on the things that are binding you. Lift your hands with me again, please. Would you do that? Oh, come on. God's here to set somebody free. God's to deliver somebody here right now. Because somebody's going to walk out of here and you're not going to worry about whether you got all the answers. You're just going to know that you've been set free. You're just going to know that you've been delivered by the power of God. Come on, church, begin to reach out to the Lord with me here right now. Help me feel after the Lord, please. My God, the deliverer's in the house. I said the deliverer is in the house. The chain breakers in the house. The prison door opener is in the house. My God, I don't know if you feel what I do right now, but I feel such an anticipation in the Holy Ghost. You know what it is? God's waiting on that person. God's waiting on that man, that lady, to make up their mind. I'm leaving changed. I'm leaving delivered. I'm leaving different by the power of God. My God, it's here. I said it is here. Oh yeah. Come on, don't just be an observer tonight. Don't just be an onlooker tonight. Help me pray, church, please. Would you lift your voice with me as you did earlier, please? Help me pray. I understand this may not be for everybody tonight, but it's for somebody. Oh yeah. Come on. If God be for us, who can be against us? God is on your side, sister. Don't allow the devil to put those chains back on you, young man. Come on, I want every young man in here to begin to lift your hands with me right now. Get your hands out of your pockets. Come on. You don't have to be bound by pornography. You don't have to be bound by lust. You don't have to be bound by iniquity and rebellion. My God. Somebody's going to be set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe it in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't worry about who's around you. Don't worry about who may be looking at you. Don't worry about your friends and what they're doing. If they're sitting at the pew, leave them at the pew. Oh yeah. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody's fixing to run with the horses. Somebody's fixing to prove the devil's a liar. Somebody's fixing to prove not only am I going to make it tonight, but I'm going to make it the next trial and the next one. Yeah, 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 yeah. My God, come on, this isn't just for young people. Somebody needs to just get lost in the Holy Ghost. Somebody just needs to get drunk in the Spirit. Somebody needs to get renewed in their mind. Oh, yeah. Come on, if you're standing in your pew, lift your hand toward these people that are praying, please. Thank you. Victory in the name of Jesus. Holiness 2022 is where I quit running with the footmen. I quit going back to the same old problems again. Yeah. My God, the deliverer's in the house. Come on, Daddy. You may not be able to make it up here, but you can get something right where you are. Yeah! My God. My God. Let that anointing destroy the yoke. Let that anointing destroy the yoke, God. Holy God, let that anointing destroy the yoke. Hiyararabo korianda. Andalabo shalabo korianda. Hiyayarabo koriai. Andai shandalabo koriai. Olalabo korialabo kanda. Come on, come on. You don't need a pretty sermon. You need a breakthrough. Yeah. You don't need a new thought. You need a breakthrough. Ha ha. Ah, yeah. Things are changing in the name of Jesus. Oh my God, I feel an anointing here right now. Holy Ghost, break the yoke, destroy the yoke. Oh yeah. Come on, the cycle's gonna be broken, young man. Lay it on the altar, repent of it. Lay it on the altar, repent of it. Come on, Jeremiah. It's time to step up. Come on, Jeremiah. Come on, Jeremiah. Don't leave these altars without getting what you need from God. Come on, Jeremiah. Oh, yeah. My God, something's happening in the Holy Ghost. Something's happening in the Spirit. Come on. God wants to take this a deeper level. God wants to bring us a deeper level. Ah! Pray in the Spirit, saints of God. Pray in the Spirit. Hiyararabo korianda. Handalalabo solabo korianda. Oh, yeah. Liberty in the name of Jesus. My God. Come on, wade into it. Walk into it. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Come on. That's it. Push with me, saints of God. Let's not worry about our ties and our starched shirts. Let's not worry about our hairdos and what's happening later. Jesus' name, that's it. Push with me in. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Push. Holy Ghost. I hear those chains falling. Ha ha. I hear those chains falling. Come on, we're not worried about getting in a hurry right now. We're not worried about praying quickly right now. We're worried about praying through. Ah, yes, God.